Amen. Let us understand that knowing that our Redeemer lives is just the beginning of knowing what we need to do. As we were singing those hymns, I was sitting there thinking about, yes, our Lord and our Savior was born. And yes, he did die and was resurrected to live throughout all eternity. And the reason I was, one of them anyway, that I was thinking about that was because there were two occasions where Jesus was upon this earth. And again, the first one was at birth, and the second was after he was resurrected, which leads us to realize from God's word that he is coming back. Amen. You have to believe in God. Trust in his word. To know that this is most definitely a fact, that he is coming back. Not to walk this earth, not to set up on David's throne, but he's coming back in the clouds of glory to receive unto himself a perfect church. Now, we as individuals will be judged on that day. We have our faults, our imperfections, our downfalls. But we can be perfect and be with him on that day. So we look here in the book of Acts, chapter 1, the scripture reference that was read, in reference to the discussion between the ones that were gazing up and the angels speaking to them. And he says again, and while they, in Acts 1, verse 10, and while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This Jesus. This is the very Jesus that, if we continue to read, that Peter and the other apostles preached about on the day of Pentecost. The same Jesus who, when we are resurrected, unless he comes before we die. The same Jesus is the Jesus that God is going to send. Now, I've said this in times past, and some didn't like it, but that's okay too. It's still true. There is only one thing that Jesus do not know. One thing that the Father held back from him. And I made the statement of why the Father did not tell him. Because if you have a friend, you want to share everything with your friends. Jesus shared everything that the Father gave to him with his friends. The only thing Jesus couldn't share with him was when he would come back to this earth. Why did the Father not tell him? Because he would have told his friends. It's not a secret. If Jesus knows it, it wasn't a secret to his friends. But he kept this one thing back from him because he wants us as men to be ready, not rushing on that last day, because we don't know when that day's coming. So we have to always be prepared, ready for Jesus to come back in the clouds and we be caught up with him because we have been faithful. And so we look and we talk about what Jesus told his disciples. The only thing that he could tell them in reference to him going away, because they were worried about this. They were concerned about this. And Jesus tells them in John chapter 14, verse 1, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms or many mansions." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." He says, "If it were not so, I would have told you. But it is so that he went away, and that there is a place that's prepared for those that are preparing, or for those that were prepared before they died." That place is the place that you and I can be in. I stated this morning from John 14, verse 6, that Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." Why did he say that? He had already told him he was going to prepare a place. Why did he say that? Because of old doubting Thomas. Thomas said, "How can we know the way? How can we come to where you are? We don't even know where that place is." He said, "I'm the way. You know me. You know how to get there," because of all the things that he taught them. And we need to listen to those things, and we need to concentrate on those things, and we need to believe those things, because one day Jesus is coming back. And then we find, as we continue to look at it and think about it, as we know again that our Lord and our Savior is coming back, that we need to stay alert. There are too many people that are sleeping. There are too many people that are nonchalant about this issue of Jesus coming back. We need to stay alert. You're waiting on a taxi cab, or should I say an Uber, and the Uber is running late, and you give up and you call somebody else to come and pick you up. I remember Anita going to take her dad to the doctor one morning, and he was sitting in the truck waiting, knowing good and well that he wasn't supposed to drive, but he was sitting in the truck just in case she was 5 minutes later than he thought that she should be there. He was going to take himself. See, sometimes we get tired of waiting on people. Or if we get tired of waiting on God to send Jesus back, we just some tired people. So we need to understand that we need to stay alert while we wait on Jesus to return. So in Matthew chapter 24, and the verse is 42. He says, well, let's go to verse 41. Let me get over here first. Matthew 24. And we start here and we look at what he said. We'll go to verse 40. And then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. He said, therefore, stay alert, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. He is coming. If someone again told you that somebody was going to break into your house, or even them was going to break into your house and told you what time they was going to break in, I'm afraid that some of us would still be asleep. We wouldn't worry about it. We wouldn't give it a second thought. until we wake up the next morning and everything is gone. And you say, I should have believed what that individual told me. Here we find that the Bible says that therefore you also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Do anybody in here know when they're going to die? Do anybody in here know when the next man is going to die? Does any of us know when Jesus is coming back? We don't know. But we do know that he's coming. The question, I guess, would be, are we ready? Are we ready for that great day? For there is a great day coming. And if you're not prepared for that day, what are you prepared for? What are you prepared for? There's only one other option, and that is to be cast into the lake which burns with fire. So let's get ready. Let's don't worry about it. Let's stay alert. Let's keep watching because the day is coming. There's a lot of things that we hope for. A lot of things. But when Jesus comes, the hope will be removed because we no longer have to hope that he's coming and that he will come in a manner in which we're ready for him to come. Let's just be ready as we're hoping because he's most definitely coming. In Titus chapter 2, we find with verse 11 in Titus 2, in reference to this hope, Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're waiting. We're waiting for that day. Again, how does he tell us that we're supposed to live? Because he delivered these things to us. He's given us these things. He's showed us how to stay in shape. Training us, the Bible says, to renounce ungodliness. I can't control myself. Here is a chocolate cake on the table, and you know that you can only have a slice, but you take that one slice, and it is so good, you take another and another and another. Then when Brother Butch comes over, there's no more chocolate cake left because you couldn't control yourself. We have to have self-control. Have to have self-control. If we don't have it, what do we have? What do we have? We have nothing. So we have to look at these things, training us to renounce ungodliness. Again, we are on the battlefield right now. We're training. We're training for what? We're practicing for what? For that great day. We sing hymns. We're in rehearsal. We're practicing these things now because we're going to be around the throne worshiping our God throughout all eternity. And if you miss practice, you'd have missed it all. So we have to train ourselves and do the things that are right. Again, verse 13, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Heaven is our hope. Heaven is our desire. And when that final day comes, that hope is removed. We no longer have that hope. Again, you can hope all day long and not do what is right, and it's not going to benefit you. So therefore, let's look at and let's think about what's going to happen. Jesus is coming back. One thing that you can rest assured that all will see him. All will see him. There are so many people that do not want to see him. We hear police cars all the time. sirens. You know, actually, we don't hear the car yet. Sometimes we do. We hear them four barrels kick in. But we hear those sirens going off. And a lot of times, we don't give it a second thought. Why? Because we know that we're doing what's right. We're living the way we're supposed to be living. But if you're not, when you hear that siren go off or you hear see those lights coming up behind you, you begin to panic because you have done something wrong. When we see Jesus, there's no need to panic because all has been said and done. Your life, you have lived it. You can't change anything. The only thing that you can wait on is to hear the final judgment. You know, a lot of times we look at those court shows and we're waiting for that final verdict to be delivered. I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder, is he going to have to give her everything? I wonder, is she going to have to give him everything? I wonder, are they guilty or innocent? How many days in jail or how many years will they spend in the penitentiary? We wonder about those things. We want the verdict. The verdict is going to be passed down on this great day. And if you have not done what you're supposed to do, you are guilty. And you can't change that. There's no appeals that's going to be given. That verdict is going to be final. So we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, actually starting with verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command and with the voice of an archangel and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will do what? The dead in Christ will rise first. So there are many that are speculating. There are many that are talking about, oh, that's really not going to happen. That Jesus is really not coming back. Well, for those individuals that don't think that he's coming back, they are not preparing for that day. But for us that believe, we're preparing. We're waiting for that day. Because again, the Bible says, for the Lord himself, he's not sending anybody else. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command. Again, Jesus was born, Jesus was crucified, he was buried, he was resurrected. And here you find that the Bible says that Jesus himself will descend. The very one that descended, ascended, and will descend again. Not to walk this earth, not to be tempted with sin as he was tempted before, but to receive unto himself a perfect church. And it says the dead in Christ will rise first. So it's a good thing to die in Christ, that you may rise first. But then again, the Bible says in verse 17, then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds. Not walking down the street with him, but in the clouds, not standing at his feet listening to him, but hearing him say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. Well done. That's what we're waiting on, is it not? That's what we're here for, is it not? To do what God wants us to do so that we may see him. Again, we're not the only ones. And I say we, I'm talking about the faithful, not the only ones that's going to see him, but everybody is going to see it. Because again, the Bible tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. So we need to do what's right so that we would be on the right side when that happens. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, as we talk about all seeing Jesus, we can rest assured that judgment is sure. There's going to be a judgment. Who's going to be judged? Is it just the righteous or is it just the unrighteous? No, all will be judged on this day. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 5, this is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering. Since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. When he comes on that day, to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. And so a lot of times we worry now about those individuals that are not doing right. We worry about those individuals that are saying bad things to us, doing bad things to us. We worry about them. Let's not worry about them. Let's not be concerned about them. But let's leave that to God, because God is going to take care of them on that great day. Yeah. Now, I'm not telling you to put yourself in their way. Remove yourself out of their way. But let's not be concerned with them. Let's pray for them. Let's try to study with them. Let's try to get them to change their ways before it is too late. And as long as they have a breath in their bodies, they have time. But judgment is sure. It is sure that those that do not know God, he says, in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those individuals. So it's good to know him. And not only just good to know him, but to do what he says. To do what he says. And so let us understand that there is no escape. No escape. You know, we have some individuals that think that, oh, here come the law, and they're running every which way, trying to get away. Some do and some don't. But on this day, there's no escape. There's no saying, you know, I want to cancel my appointment. No escape, no counseling. Jesus is coming back, and we are appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So Paul writes to Timothy here, and he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. He's coming. He's coming. And what are we going to be doing when he comes? Paul tells Timothy again, very simple instruction, nothing too hard for him. He says, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine or patience and teaching. Do what is right. There's a reward that awaits you. Do what is right. Hold on. Jesus is coming back. Just stay steadfast. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Do not wave the white flag, but keep moving forward, because that day is coming. Amen. Brother Brian and I was having a discussion earlier about some songs. Can we sing these songs if we was in this predicament or in that situation or in that place? And then he got up here and sung a song talking about being an ensign, lifted up. We talked a little bit about that. Jesus did not surrender. Jesus did not give up. Jesus was that sign that was lifted up. The very one, again, that was taken off of that cross, the very one that was buried, the one that was resurrected, the one that ascended into heaven to sit up on the right hand of the Father, the very one that is going to come back in order to receive unto himself again a perfect church. So therefore, we need to know that he is coming, but we do not know when. No warnings. Oh, yes, people are talking. Man, it is hot. Man, this is just the 1st of June, and look at the temperatures. We're having 90 degrees temperatures already. Oh, the world must be coming to an end. They're right about one thing. Yes, it is coming. But just because it's hot, that's not a sign that the world is coming to an end. That's just a season that we're living in. So therefore, again, we need to be prepared, because there is no warning that Jesus is coming back. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now, the ones that believe this are the faithful Christians, the one that believes that I don't worry about how hot it is. I don't worry about how cold it is. I don't worry about the wars that are going on or the rumors of the wars. I don't worry about those things, because those things were for a different time. The time that we have to worry about now is the time that we're living in now, the Christian dispensation, that we prepare for that great day, for it is coming. And when it comes, are you going to be ready? Or are you going to be ready? For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Have you ever arose and looked outside and said, I know I parked my automobile right there. And you go a step further. You go out there and you stand in that spot where your car was, and you still haven't sunk in that your car is gone. That's the way thieves make you feel sometimes. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back like a thief. And there's a lot of people that are going to feel a certain way about him coming back without him telling them that he was coming back. And you know what the report is going to be on that day? Oh, they're going to be whining. They're going to be crying. They're going to be saying this, and they're going to be saying that. Brother Brian, go ahead and get it for us. Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Lord, have we not cast out demons in your name? Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in your name? Verse 23.
And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
God is coming. The Lord is coming. And if you have not done what you're supposed to do, you are not going to get in. It's just that simple. That's God's word. And if you don't believe his word, what do you believe? What do you believe? Do not believe a lie. Do not be deceived. Do not think that this is heaven on earth right here. Things are going to change. Yes, things are going to change. This earth is going to be burned up with fervent heat. It is going to change. It's not going to be here. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Our Lord is coming. Let's get ready. Let's get ready. You know, we say that, you know, we're getting ready to sing a hymn of invitation. The invitation is going to be delivered. We must always be ready for the invitation. And we must always be ready to get our lives right, to answer the gospel call. See, we talk about the gospel call, and we always want to refer back to individuals coming to Christ, answering that gospel call. But it doesn't stop just because you have become a Christian to answer the gospel call. It's for a lifetime. So we continue to answer the call, just as when we become Christians, we are washed by the blood. And once we become a Christian, we are continuously being washed by the blood of the Lamb. Because he's coming back. He's coming back. If you're here and you're not a child of God, and you want to become one, the opportunity is yours. Do not, you know, take what I'm saying lightly. This is God's word. And we need to believe what the Lord says, and we need to be obedient unto those things. If you're not here, hearing the word is where it starts. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Hearing the word. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God is what we need to understand and what we need to do. As Sister Maddie made that confession this morning, that Jesus is the Son of God. John chapter 8, verse 24. Except ye believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So repentance must be made. Amen. We have to turn away from what's wrong and turn to what's right. We have to have a change of mind. And yes, again, it's rehearsal, it's practice, it's training. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and verse 5. And we need to confess. Confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, Jesus, you know, he says, you know, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. Romans 10, 10. You believe with the heart, you confess with the mouth. These things must be done. I'll be finished in just a minute. I don't know whose phone that is. I'll be finished in just a minute. Tell them to hold on or don't answer it at all. And then we look and we think, what must we do next? Baptism is important. That is the reason why Sister Maddie came forth this morning in order to be baptized. Not for us just to pray for her, but for her to be baptized, to have her sins washed away. Paul, as he recounts his conversion in Acts chapter 22, verse 16, Ananias says unto him, Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So baptism is necessary for salvation. It's just one of the things that we do, but that one thing is important because it puts us into Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. As many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so therefore, we take that to heart. We take it to heart, and then we continue to study. Study the Word of God to show ourselves approved unto Him. We're not trying to win any arguments. Yes, there are men that debate, and they debate some subjects, and I just say there's no need of debating because after it has been given much debate from the Word of God in reference to what commandments are we supposed to keep. Been given much debate. We keep what Jesus says and we do those things. So I don't study to show, you know, myself approved unto man, but unto God, because I want to enter in on that great day. And the only way that we're going to be able to do this is that we continue to look in His Word. We continue to study and we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. According to 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 18. If you're here and you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to become one. Quit putting off, because your life is coming to an end. And we're getting closer and closer to that day when Jesus will return. And if you're here and you are a Christian and you have strayed away, come back before it is too late. Confess your faults. Ask God to forgive you. If you've done something to some man, you go to that individual, get it right with them, and then come back to God. Because it don't do any good to ask God to forgive you for doing something to somebody and you ain't asked that somebody to forgive you. You ask them, if they deny your forgiveness, then you just leave them alone. You go about your way. You have done what you're supposed to do. Again, the Bible does teach us, confess our faults to Him, and He will forgive us of all unrighteousness. If you're hearing your subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn. 330.